Today,
if you don't like the topic, we should ask you about cheapest comments.
Might be a strategy, you know. But I might have a counter move, so you know, watch out. Okay, so today we're going to be starting off with a initial question, and then we're going to segue into a sugya about Bishul and Sliya that is relevant to Karban Pesach, and we're taking it back afterwards to the Hilchos Shabbos and try to analyze it. And then, time permitting, we're always optimistic, we'll see if we can get into something else that has to do with Pesach that's maybe a little less relevant to Bishul. So let's start. The question is like this. How many people have been in a house where the Baal Bas is making himself a cup of tea or making his guests a cup of tea? And he'll take the dish towel and he'll start going like this to the cup. Maybe he'll look at it in the sunlight to see if any drops left in the cup. Maybe if he's got one of the jeweler's loops, he'll be checking to see if there's any water in there. I've been in such houses where that's how you look at a teacup. Now, why? So it comes down to the idea of Irui Kli Rishon. Let's say you're taking this cup and you're putting it underneath the urn. The urn is a Kli Rishon, and you're filling it up. So those drops of water through the Irui Kli Rishon could get cooked. And it's for choshesh that Eloi Govar, that the top water is going to overcome the bottom water. That's one part of this cheshbon. And then there are also another part of the cheshbon, which is, what are those drops? Are those drops from washing the cup, in which case the water was not cooked? And then it's even a more serious shiloh of Bishul, whereas it was already cooked. So there's some wiggle room. So what do the Pesachim say about this shiloh?
Correct.
But nevertheless, you see that when it comes down to it, the Pesachim are a little... They do differentiate between when water was heated up or not, even though it doesn't seem like that in many Rishonim. Okay, so that's just a fact that we...
Even for the cliché, in other words...
Well, it's what's called... There's an intermediate level called, which we... I don't know if we learned it in the booklets or not, called Irui Kli Rishon. When you pour from the Kli Rishon into the Kli... No, it's in there for sure.
Oh, we didn't discuss it.
Yeah, so you pour it from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni, so does it have the status of a Kli Rishon to some extent because of the fact that it's coming from the Kli Rishon, and there's this very, very, difficult sugi to understand called Eloi Govar Tatari Govar, that which part of this mix do we assume is going to have the upper hand's a bad word. The stronger position, is it going to be the top or is it going to be the bottom? And okay, so right now that's not our focus, but we're going back to this question. What is the din? What is the din? So Rav Moshe Feinstein is machmir. So the guy who pulls out the jeweler's loop, he has Rav Moshe on his side. So the Shmir Shabbos brings it down as well. However, Rav Vosner is Mekel. So this is the setup. This is the question that we're asking. What are the tzdadim over here exactly? Okay, so we're going to come back to this after we look at take a not so brief look at some halachas of Karban Pesach. And actually, for those who remember, when we discussed the very, very important shiloh of whether the Torah looks at Bishul as being fundamentally Eish related, does it have to be from a fire? That is the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his Tshuva, and the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein was that the fire is just a function of what is the normal way to cook, and therefore Rav Moshe claimed that in the future, when the microwave oven will completely obliterate all other ways of preparing food, Rav Moshe was under the impression that this was the new fad and soon it's just going to be the way everyone cooks. So he says the microwave oven could be get you a chiyuv bishul d'oraisa, a chiyuv skila of cooking something in the microwave. The way we have microwaves now, they try making the mix, right? The both kinds, microwave and regular. no one really got it right that you could actually bake and put something there that tastes good. It's good for eating stuff. Yeah. And we compared notes about it. You can make an omelet in there, or you could heat a cup of water. Okay, but the point is. The point is that that's not exactly true. But I'm actually claiming that if that were to be the way, that even though there's no fire, it's lav dafka. It's lav dafka. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman had a raya. What was that raya? So it says, and here we printed out. Just I couldn't. How do you cut off part of this parasha of and the whole introduction of Karban Pesach, the first mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. So if you look in the in Pasuk Ches, Va'ochlu es habasar ba'laylo hazeh, Klal Yisrael must eat the meat of this Karban Pesach on this night, tzli eish, roasted in fire, u'matzos, together with matzos, amarur milchlu, and they should eat that all together with marar. Al toichlu mimenu no, do not eat it uncooked. Raw is not exactly correct. Uvashel mevushel b'mayim. Or cooked in water. Ki im tzli eish. Rather, only if it's only roasted in fire. Roishay al kira'av ve'al kirvay. Okay. So what do we see from ki im tzli eish? So Shlomo Zalman suggests that the difference between vashel mevushel b'mayim and tzli eish is whether there is a medium of water between the Eish and the Mayim. So the Mashmas of the Pasuk is that what is the heat source that is necessary in order to be Bishol? Eish. Because Tzli Eish, as opposed to with Mayim in the middle, but that means that the water is being heated up by Eish. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, says the Shlomo Zalman, so there's room to say that it's not just a way that people would cook, and now we're taking over here with the microwave technology, but rather the Torah insists that it has to be Tzli'esh. So that was something that we brought up to get to the fundamental of what is Bishul. Now we're moving over. Now we're moving over to the sugya of how to make a Karban Pesach. And as we pointed out, that Mehera Yibona Hamikdash. We still have time. So let's try to learn a little bit of this to practice for this year. Be'ez Hashem, as we quoted from Chaim Kanievsky, I hope my matzahs are not going to be usable the Seder night, because they'll be tummy and we're going to have to get new matzahs to eat the Karban Pesach with. Okay, so let's see over here.
So we're not going outside to do a practical version of it?
Okay. So says the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim in Ketzad Tzolin, very appropriately titled Perek in Masechet Pesachim, called Ketzad Tzolin, how do you roast the Karban Pesach? Okay. Ketzad Tzolin es haPesach mevi'in shiput shel rimon. You bring a skewer, that's a good word, of pomegranate wood. Okay, a pomegranate branch.
I got it in my back.
But toy for the soif piv. You put it right through from the mouth of the lamb, straight through the animal. And you put, according to the Tanakhama, that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that says you put the limbs inside it. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kamin Bishul, who's that? That's like Bishul, because what happens is that the limbs that are inside the cavity of the animal are not getting heated up directly by the fire. Ela Toilin Chutzalai, rather, those limbs get hung also on that skewer, on that spit, outside the animal, not inside the cavity. Ein Toilin Es HaPesach, Loi LaShpud, V'Loi LaAskala. These are different types of cooking apparatuses. Amar Rabbi, and they have their own independent heat. Amar Rabbi Tzadok, Ma'aser Rabbi Gamliel, Sh'amar, etc. That he did. Okay, fine. Now, what's the pshat that you take a shput shel rima? Why? Says the Bar Tanura, and we're going to see the Gemara soon that he's coming from.
Maybe.
But the Bar Tanura says on that Mishnah.
Yeah, different type of wood.
V'loy sha'ar eitzim. Dafka a pomegranate tree and not from other trees. The mafki maya, because when you heat up wood of other trees, the wood is naturally more moist, and what happens is that the spit itself, when it gets heated up, is going to start emitting steam. V'havale bushel mevushel b'mayim. And it's going to be whatever is getting heated sort of indirectly by the spit that's on the inside is now cooked by water. But because of the fact that pomegranate trees consume a lot of water and they're naturally dry, the pomegranate wood is naturally drier, so it doesn't emit water. We're going to see something else about the pomegranate it's more smooth, and therefore you don't have to pierce it, and that's why the water doesn't come out. We'll see it soon in the Gemara. Which puts some teches light, says the Bar Tanura, and for sure you can't do it with a metal spit. Because we're going to see later, we're going to see the next Mishnah, the Cham Miktsasa Cham Kule, that metal conducts heat as opposed to wood. And once the fire is heating up the edges of this metal spit that emerge from each side of the lamb, so the whole thing becomes hot. V'nitzle, and it's cooked, but not sli'esh. It's nitzle, not mashbud. It's going to be heated up from the
metal.
And although that might even be called sli, but there's a din of carbon pesach, that's what sli'esh. Let's proceed. We have to see a few more things over here. Right, the Gemara.
Does it get rotated or
rotisserie? The crane. Yeah, there you go. Says the Gemara. We're holding toward the bottom of the first page here. Why don't you use a metal one? Since part of it becomes hot, the rest of it becomes hot, and it gets roasted because of the actual metal spit. Why don't we bring a palm branch? Because it has cracks in it, so the water is more likely to come out, and the same problem will happen. Benesi shelter ena, what about a fig tree? I did the machalchel mafig maya, because of the fact of v'havalikim mevushel, that since it's more porous, so mafig maya. Benesi shel alayin, then you should bring a pine branch, shel churuv,
boxer?
Yeah, but how do you say that in English?
Carob
tree. Michelle sycamore tree. All these branches. I did the Isbe Kitri Mafik Maya. Because of the fact that they all are natty, all these trees. Kitri is in Aramaic is Kesher. Right? So what it means is that all the branches that come from these trees are going to have knots, these little knobs. And then how do you deal with that? So you whittle away the knobs to make it smooth. Once you open up the branch, that's when all the moisture comes out. As opposed to what? Shall Rima Nami is the Kitri? But the Rima doesn't also have knots? No, she, Kitri, they're much more smooth. Okay, and therefore, you don't have to deal with it. And that's why it's the preferred tree. Okay? The Iba is Eba, or maybe Vinagba Varsata, the Lesbi Kitri, maybe what's being used is a sapling from a pomegranate tree that is mamish its first year of growth. And therefore it's all still smooth. It hasn't developed all the knots.
Now I understand the metal shpud because
just one second. Vayika Bay Piskay, what about the actual place where you cut the branch? There, the moisture is going to come out. The moisture says, that's not how you do it. The mapik lebe piske, the bar. You have a spit that's long enough, that's emerging from each side of the lamb, so the part that you cut is not actually steaming into the lamb because it's on the outside.
Branch.
Yes,
you
got
to have a thick
branch. Yes. So I wanted to say that.
I think long branch is named after this. Okay.
So some of the moisture is coming out of the tree.
Yeah.
Now we say about the metal one from the Bartonura, it is sli, but it's...
It's not sliyesh.
It's not sliyesh. And here,
my take
here,
is the steam is bushel.
I understand, but how much... It's minute. It's not even a... It's not even a... It's not... It's a mashu.
Very good. So let's see.
How can we, what are we talking about?
So let's first, you know, we're so tempted, you know, we're talking of microwaves, where we want to go to microwave lumbus right away. Let's learn a few more minor covers about this sugya, and then we'll have enough information to analyze this and ask these questions, okay?
This was done in Yerushalayim.
This was done,
can
well...
Can you do the roasting in your house in Beit Shemesh? Has to be
no,
done
no, 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 no. It has to be done in the city of Yerushalayim. If you lived in Shiloh, it could be done anywhere where you could see the Mishkan. The Mishkan. So theoretically, in those days, if you had a helicopter...
Well, it's not
a drone.
How would you do it? Oh, it's in the afternoon. You roast in the afternoon.
Right. So it wouldn't be... Right. So it wouldn't be chutzim kaimer if you took it out, if you roasted it on the helicopter. It might be a little bit complicated.
The point is that
whenever you could see, that wasn't out of bounds.
Okay.
Okay. Who here saw the Lundish video? They was going around, I don't know, the Super Bowl about the out of bounds. Like, when do you say Kutu Kamisha
Unchadami?
Oh, that
was great.
The Yeshiva guy. That
was great.
Yeah.
That
was great.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a
Hadamim. Okay, good.
That's it.
Good, very good. So that's what we're doing over here. If you're on the drone above Shiloh, so then during the 369 years of Mishkan Shiloh, so you would even be out of bounds as long as you could see. Okay, now. So now says. Says Rashi. Rashi says the third line of page 2. I did the Isbu Kitri, since all these trees have knots in them, and you have to smooth them out by whittling them down with a knife. Mapik Maya, Derech Makam Chetach Hasakin, we're now holding on the third line of page 2. The water, the moisture of the branch emerges from the place that you cut it. So your mamash have a covered Pesach that is
cooked.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now, the mavik will be piski the bars a few lines down. Chutz l'piyah Pesach. You have to put the place where you cut the branch sticking out of the mouth of the lamb. That even if water comes out from the heat, it's not, the steam is not going to actually touch the carbon Pesach. So now, so the Gemara asks, what about the metal spud? I'm Rulari, the last Rashi here, Afu Pisha Ein Pnimi Shal Eitz Nitzraf, Afu Pnimi Shal Matechas Martiach. The wooden one, so the very outside touches the fire and it gets heated up, but it doesn't conduct the heat to the inside. When you have a spit that's made out of metal, even what's now is hidden from the ash still is going to be hot. Okay. So now it's roasted, but it's just not from a fire, and there's a din, a xeris akasim, as it's liyesh.
Is the rabon dafka?
Very good.
The meat on the metal skewer, though, on the inside,
yeah.
It's not getting heated from the fire. It's getting, if anything, it's already after the meat has been...
So the meat is not a chatzitza from the meat. So even if it's roasting from the outside in, okay,
which is the way, and that's how they did it.
In other words, it had to be aged, but the maisa, they used coals. If you used an open fire, you'd burn your Pesach, right? If you empty it out, we're going to see in the Rambam. If you empty out the oven that you're putting it in, and now the only heat is residual, it's not sliyesh. So the happy medium is using coals, which are considered aged. But the heat is gentle and even enough so that it slowly penetrates the meat, even though you have it on the spit, right? And as the halacha is not spread it out and then turn it over. The spit is still good enough.
Is it mashka that they're turning out? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't even know. That's a good question. L'chara, that was the aleph.
The aleph is
going to be raw on top and raw on bottom.
The question is, though, is the metal, though, then getting heated only after, essentially, the heat has penetrated the meat?
No, that's the whole point, is that the metal is conducting from the two outside parts that are over the fire. So let's say I divide the middle span of the spit is metal and it's not exposed to the fire. So you can't say, okay, that would be good. Excellent. So, very good. So now says the Rambam, let's go through a few halachas over here. The halacha dalet over here. Ushnein einan ne'achalin elot sli eish. These karbanos could only be eaten when they're roasted in the fire. Va'orichal meinan kezayis na or mevushel. If you eat a kezayis, eat or halacha dalet in the Rambam.
Here's na again. Raw, rare.
So na is not fully cooked.
Rare.
We'll get to it for a second. Not fully roasted, meaning I'm a bushel or cooked. B'leili psachim, loike. Whoever eats a kezayis of carbon pesach that has not been prepared properly, it's been cooked or it was not fully roasted, not adequately roasted, I should say. Loike, he gets malchus. Shenemar al toichlu mimenu na uvashel mavushel mamayis. Ochal na mavushel ta'achas. If it was both, it was semi roasted and then it was cooked. Ain the loike ala achas lefishesneim mechlos v'lav echad. Fine. Now he goes more halachas. Says the Rambam. Let's see halacha above. This is a fascinating halacha. No, what we call raw. It's not really raw. It's not fully roasted. Shehiz hira alav taira hu habasar shehizchil boi maaseh ha'ur, that you started putting it over the fire. V'nitzle ma'at, it was partially roasted. V'ein aroy la'achilas adam adayim, but it's not machal ben drusay. Avalim achal mimenu basar chai, that's mamish raw. If you mamish took raw meat that has not been heated at all, ain't a like it. You do not get malchus, because that's not called na. Na means insufficiently roasted. But it doesn't mean that it's raw. Okay? So you're mevatel mitzvah to say, al-chiles karbon pesach, but you don't get the lav. Shenemar, tzli eish, hasha ain't a tzli, but if it's an eish, but it's not fully tzli, aser. So lo kol tzarkai, ad shenechrach, va'ach le'pater. There's another one also. Let's say your mamish burnt it, so it got burnt. Say you're pater, meaning don't burn it. Oh, okay.
What happens if you ate it burnt? Your putter.
If you ate it burnt.
Yeah.
If you burned it.
So you might not get. What I was trying to allude to is you might not actually have gotten the mitzvah of Achilas Karbon Pesach because it's burnt. But you know, putter, at least from all these lavin. Okay, one second. Now let's look at some key Rambams. I couldn't pick all the Mishnayos from the Perek, but once we have this Rambam, we're going to be able to come back to the Shiloh of Rav Moshe and Rav Vosner with a teacup. Do you have to be sitting there with a magnifying glass, cleaning out a teacup, making it dry, or do you not? What can we maybe learn from the sugya of Tzlias Karban Pesach that will inform us about this Shiloh of the Machlekes between Rav Vosner and Rav Moshe, whether you got to be staring at it and crunching it out with a towel, or can you just, like Rav Vosner recommends, we're going to see, you bang the cup a couple times till there's a negligible amount of moisture, and then you're fine. Okay, so let's see the Rambam in Halacha Tes. It's toward the bottom of the Rambam. Ein soilen es ha-pesach al gabe kli even or kli matoches. Don't roast it on a stone or metal. Kli shenemar tzli eish. Loitzi davar acher. Even if it's nice and hot, it has to be a fire. Lefichachim hoya kli menukov kidei shetishlei pei ha-ur soilen alav. If you have a grill, so there are holes in it. So even though there is a surface there, as long as the fire is able to penetrate, that's fine. And it roasted on that place.
Right.
Okay. Now, says the Rambam in the next halacha, halacha yod, that if you cleared out the coals, that's not sliyesh, you're not yotze. So let's see the Rambam. It's the fourth to last line. Ketzad soilen esav. Finally, he gets back to what we wanted to know. How do you roast it? Notice what the Rambam takes out.
Rimon.
Takes out Rimon. He had something, I guess, I don't know, there was some politics.
Maybe they didn't have Rimon.
Maybe they didn't have Rimon, yeah.
Where Rambam was.
But the Rambam, biggest site in all of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, is a theoretical book. The Torah started this new genre of how-to manuals. The Rambam, although it could also be used as a how-to manual, is a thematic work that is completely connected to the way halacha is organized, and he talks about halachas that are the Moshe Mashiach, even the, when he wrote it wasn't the Geah, he wasn't talking about what's going on in Cairo, because he's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, he left out it. So we'll get to this soon. So, v'toleihu l'soich ha'tanur v'ha'esh l'mata, and the fire is on the bottom, v'toleh k'rov v'bneimeh v'tanur chutzaloi, like we, the second sheet in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, v'loyit neim b'soicha shezeh kemin bishulhu, right, not like a Rabbi Yaglidi. V'shput shal rimayin hayu b'irin l'tzliyosai. Then he goes back a step and he says, they would select a shputz or rimon. Kedei shal yizrek es meimav v'yivashleya. So that it should not emit. It shouldn't shoot out the steam and cook it.
It's a chumrah. Well, he's giving an example.
Okay, one second.
You could find it different.
Now here's also very, very key halacha that is in the Mishnah. Just hold your place in halacha yad aleph. Let's just go back up to the one line of Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hei, directly above the Rambam. Directly above the Rambam is one line. It says the Mishnah, Naga b'charsa shel tanur, if the tanur in those days were often made of clay, earthenware. Sometimes it would be brick, okay? That's also usually clay. So, b'kitzer, if you put it into the oven, this is like great. If you're a brisker, this is a great thing to have nerves about. Don't let it touch the wall! Don't let it touch the wall! It's a kashal of Pesach. They don't care! Hey, it's not Sliyesh! But that's the din. The Mishnah says that Sliyesh has to be literally from the fire, and if the walls, which are also heated up from that fire, touch the Besar HaKarban Pesach, so it's not Sliyesh.
Right.
Now, note, the Chazal don't say you can't put it in an oven, because when you put it in an oven, so the oven conducts the heat, correct, and it keeps it inside, but maybe a lot, some of the heat that's heating up the top and whatever it is coming, is being radiated by the oven, and even though it ultimately comes from the fire, but maybe it comes through the wall, that far Chazal didn't go. But, Chazal, let's do that Chazal, the Torah doesn't go. But
it was open.
No, a tanner. Otherwise, boys in a tanner.
It's like a dome.
It's like a dome.
You see from the Pesukim in Parshas Bar that the Jews had ovens. That's straight up.
Right. Sincerely for
okay.
The Shomron.
So you see, they're more ambitious than you. They weren't just putting them. There was a place to go oven.
Very interesting.
There was a place to go oven.
They do the Karban Pesach. They have a cylinder, and they put the
right. They have it downwards. Right.
So that's what it sounds like. Betolin also.
Sure, but if you look carefully, it doesn't seem to say. I hear what you're saying. I've seen pictures of what they do. Okay, now let's go back to the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say so important? This little part, this one line. Naga b'charsa shel taner. If it touches that, the wall of the tanner, yikloif es mekoyma, you literally have to peel off that outer layer, because that's considered to be tzli tanner. And that is now not tzli esh, and you're not allowed to eat it unless it's tzli esh. So you have to peel off a thin layer. Now look at this. Notaf mi roitvoy al hacheres. Let's say some of the juices of the meat spritzed onto the earthenware surface of the inside surface of the oven, v'chazar elav, and then it dripped down onto the carpet. This is really going to drive you crazy. Wow. What do you mean? Even the drippings that come from the ceiling? How do you manage then? You put something underneath it that is going to drip from that.
Right.
So I look at this and I think, you know, it's good that the brisket were you know, they only started operating after the korban. I don't know how they would do this one. So, yitelas mekaymai, take off that whole area. Explain the mafarshim on the Mishnah that because of the fact that the juice drips in. First of all, what's the problem if the juice drips in? It's bishul.
Right.
It's bishul. But not just that. Since the juices are liquid, they penetrate further into the meat.
Right.
than just the very crust when it comes to the touching the oven. So when it touches the oven, it says yiklef, very thin layer. But if not daf miroyfe al cheres v'chazer elav, if it starts dripping on and then that assists in cooking, what happens? Yitel es mekayma. You just take the whole thing. You got to have a thicker layer that you're peeling off the carbon pesach because now it's bashal mevushal
b'mayim.
What?
And you're always taking it off.
Don't cook it.
Right. So I don't know, but I'm positive that this was. It could be that directly above the carbon pesach they would have open.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Fire. I don't know. But I'm saying all these things, it was, you had to work it out. And if you have a fatter cat, a fatter lamb, and then the walls are getting that much further. So I'm just saying, like Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein used to say, people asked him about going on to Har HaBayis, and he would say, beyond the halachic issue, are we able to be Mekayim and Mikdashi Tiro? Like, do we have the Mora Mikdash that we're supposed to have? Like, the whole idea of going there is not to take a selfie, is to experience the greatness of the Mora Mikdash. So then I don't have that.
I wouldn't know.
We don't even have a Mesorah about Mora Mikdash. We know what it means to be trembling from the Kusha. So what's my point of going there? So like we think about Mashiach coming, there'd be a lot of halachas. Okay. Now, with that Mishnah...
Sounds like a cottage industry to create the...
So now let's look at the last couple of halachas in the Rambam. Noga habosir b'cherset shel tanur. With Yud Aleph, second to last line.
Okay.
We're almost at the bottom line. Noga habosir b'cherset shel tanur. Yiglef es mekayim b'nishu tzlicheres. You have to peel off the place because it's tzlicheres. And notaf miroitvoy alacheres alaf yud beis v'chazer alav yitol es mekayimoy shekol hamorak v'halecha. That all of the juice, the sauce v'halecha and the moisture shetifresh mimenu. Kishe yitzale asura shaharei ena b'sar tzli.
So what, do you have to remove all the sweat? How do you remove it?
You
just peel off
the top layer of meat. A more of a layer, yeah. Now,
which would be perfect for someone like my wife. It doesn't melt the skin anyway.
Okay, great. But the problem is, it's an issur to cook it in that way. Okay, now let's get now. Okay, Rabbi said, so let's take out a few things from over here, and let's come back to Hilchos Shabbos before we go off to other places, okay? Let's come back to Hilchos Shabbos with a few very key points that emerge from this halacha. So first of all, Stam, I think it's very important, because even though Shabbos is tomorrow night, but Pesach is in a little more than a week, and Be'ez Hashem, it should be like, yeah, we have a little bit of a primer of how it's going to, okay? Yeah. Next time you pass a sheep, you know, give him an eye, make sure he has no woman. Okay.
And
he
has a baby sheep.
Yeah?
It could be a goat.
מאיזה ישיבה?
ישיבת הר הבית של הרב.
לא נהיה טוב.
יפה מאוד.
גם מכון המקדש.
אפשר לעשות את זה אחד וזה בעצם.
וואו. הביטון הנעשה כבר מנוי. המנוי האורגינלי, the original מנוי is to do it on a carbon passage. Okay, so now... By the way, did you ever hear the story about the Rav? The Rav who was eating dinner one night, and the Rebbetzin came out to serve him his piping hot soup, and she tripped.
Uh-oh.
And it spilled all over him, and he said, "Ah!" And she said, "Cliche." Yeah. Okay. I think if I had to write a book about that fella, I would call it Halachic Man. Halachic Man.
Halachic Man.
Yes. Okay. So now, said the Bartanura. If you look back at the first page, and the Ratanura explained the idea of not using these other types of wood. So the Ratanura explained, it's the first page, back to the first page. We're doing Chazara now. Yeah? And it's toward the bottom. Vadami Ratanura. I think it's really Bertinoro. That's like the Arsul writes it. Shputcha Rimon, Veloisha Ar Eitzim. And not other trees. The mafki maya v'havale boshel mevushel b'mayim v'rima l'mafki maya. Okay, and the Gemara talks about this. So the impression you get from the Bartanura is that if you use other kinds of wood, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You're in trouble. And we already saw, if it gets heated up in a different way, you got to peel it off, you got to take it off. So the Chari, he's right. The Chari, he's right. So, but if you look at the Rambam, The Rambam was much more gentle. What did the Rambam say?
Eight.
You're supposed to use Ushput Shel Eitz, and then he goes back and he says, Ushput Shel Riman Hayu Bayerin Litzliyasin. They would select a Ushput Shel Eitz the way the Gemara described it. It's the smoothest. It's not going to emit that steam. So Lamaisa, the Achronim, are Medayik in the Rambam that he didn't write immediately Ushput Shel Riman that it's not Ma'akev. You don't have to. It's what you call a mitzvah min hamuvchar or a silsul, it's a nice thing. But the rab is right. He's right. What do you mean? It's getting cooked by the steam that's coming out of the wood.
How's the Rambam read the Gemara?
That's a good question. So l'chayra, what you have to say over here is that the Rambam and the other Rishonim who don't seem to explain, again, it's not even muchach in the Bar Tanura, but it sounds like from the Bar Tanura that if you did it, you're busted. And then maybe you're going to have to peel off a layer. You put in another piece of kind of wood that's actually steaming into the Karban Pesach. The problem is, what's the big raya for the Rambam? When he talks about in the next mission that we just read, that if it touches, the what? The wool of the tanner, or it gets dripped on by its own gravy, you have to take that part off. It never says boo about if you use a different type of shput. It never says that. So the fact that the Mishnah never discusses this consequence when it comes to which kind of wood that you use, that's the chora, a very strong raya that it's only lichalchila. But b'di'evah, we're not worried about the steam that's coming out of the wood, the same way we're worried about actual drops. That's not ma'u, we're not so choshesh that that's bishul. But l'maisa, there's an in and a bishul there. I also just want to point out, someone, I don't know how it works, but like inside, everything's all wet. Like, how is the steam coming out? I don't know. That's a very good idea. Where's that?
That's what the Gemara says. It's kinevushal.
Very good. Wow. I missed that. Excellent.
Very good.
I think my dick is also a dick. That's even better. Very good. Very good.
That's not what the Bartanura says. Bartanura is the one who changes it.
Right. Well, so where is that? That's over here. Kimavosho.
Twice.
Yeah, Femme. Oh, okay. Shkoyachabari. That's a very good deal.
I see it actually as the other way, basically, which is, it doesn't even give you that option. Meaning the oven, you have the option of using an oven. But when you use that oven, if this happens, you have to peel. Here he's saying, you don't have that option for the wood because there's no...
Okay.
They're already
I hear. Okay, we're going to have to go see some kutchen people to get the minutia over here. So let's come back to our shayla with the teacup, right? This is the tempest in a teacup, right? We're going through this whole sugya, and all we wanted to know was, do you have to clean that teacup out? What does this have to do with it?
Okay.
I have a Gemara in Shabbos that I think we all learned already. The Gemara gives examples. Remember we saw the Mishnah Berurah in Shem and Shin Yud Ches that brings the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, that gets Perek Tes, goes through all the different examples of Bishul. What's an example of Bishul that the Gemara talks about? I have a piece of wood that I would like to use for firewood, so what do? I heat it up. I dry out this piece of wood by heating it up. The Gemara says you're over on Bishul. And it's a struggle to understand how that fits into the rest of Bishul. Well, first what happens is that the moisture comes out and it actually gets soft. Al Haderach, it gets soft. But then when the final product comes, it's drier and now it could be firewood. It's not going to smoke up the whole oven because it's dry. And then Mishnah Berurah, who lived in Russia, right? So he talks about, don't be over the Issa Deraisa of casually tossing a log onto the top of the oven. That can mamash be a chiv skila, because that's a type of bishul, even though I'm only just drying it out. But the Gemara includes drying a piece of wood as bishul. Oh. So I was bothered the entire time now. Now, it happens to be that when they're roasting the Karban Pesach, it's not Shabbos. It's Yontif. But still, we don't stam as like, we don't just stam do malachas on Yontif. So, if it's a tzarech, so why b'chlal are you allowed to use a wooden shpud? Aren't you being over bishul on the shpud? You can tell me you're not. I mean, of course you are. That's the whole point of the Gemara, is that the moisture is coming out of the wood. That's classic bishul. So if you're doing it so that you could use the wood for firewood, we could start talking about that already. But if the whole reason, if it's just a derech agav that the wood is getting heated up and emitting steam, that's a classic case of bishul according to the Gemara. So why is that mutter and natif?
Of course, it's l'tzarech pesach.
Right. So this comes back to Rabbi Yashin's psak that he holds. Many poskim say dud shemesh and yantif, no problem.
Right.
No problem. Rabbi Yashin says it's not so clear to me that it's mutter. Why? I'll tell you why he says. If all the water that's coming in as a result of the fact that I opened the faucet, and I'm using that water also, so then it's a tzorech ochal nefesh that I'm causing new water to come in by taking the water out now, and that's getting heated. But it's impossible that every time I open the faucet, I'm always going to be using that water because it's... It'll be added for anyway. There's no way to do it. So what ends up coming out is that the water that gets heated up afterwards, I'm not interested in really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not going to use it right away.
And therefore, it's a malacha of bishul shaloi letzarech. So it's us. So Rabbi Yashin is mefak, like he says, why should it be mutter to open the mice? Most people are knowing that it's mutter. For sure, at the beginning of Yontif, I could hear because, you know, you have more of a day and you use the water. It depends how big your tut is, how big your family is. It's very, very specific type of shayla, how far away is the water that I'm going to use. But... So maybe it's negated to this also. This is how you roast. So the normal way of roasting has this malacha that's coming on the side. So but this is so important. So first of all, I didn't see anyone who brings it, but I might say I'm not majorly in the sugya now, unfortunately. But why should we bechlal be able to even think of using wood that is going to emit moisture? Shouldn't it be that I dafka don't want it? Because of the fact that it's going to be a bishul issue. I bishul is mutter on yantif, but I'm not even doing that for this purpose, so it's unnecessary bishul. Oh. So this brings us back to the teacup. What did Rav Moshe Feinstein say? What did Rav Moshe say? He's machmir. He says, you have uncooked water that's in this teacup. Make sure there's not even a drop left, because as soon as you pour from you open the kettle, you open the urn, and the water comes in, classic Iruk Lirushan, into the cup, you're over on Bishul. It's not a shear. It's not a shear. So let's look. If you have the book, it's page 35. Lefikach yesh lahakmet shalo lishpoch mikli rishon alayte shalo nisbashu, etc. V'chein yesh lahakmet shalo lishpoch mikli rishon al tamt. 1 second. Here, our lishpach l'toch tzalachas ukos she'einon nekios ve'einon yaveshos lagamrei. Don't pour water, boiling water on Shabbos into a cup that is not completely clean and dry. We'll have to quote some English over here. This is also the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's in Igros Moshe Chelik Aleph Tzimin Tzadi Gimel that if the drops are cold, so even though I don't really care, and it's less than the shear of bishul anyway, so I wouldn't have to even bring a carbon, even if I did it b'mezid, this is usur. Okay? Wow. However, Rav Moshe's makel when it was already heated up. That's what we mentioned before. It mentions in note 16, Rav Moshe was lenient when the hot water is going on leftover drops of tea or water that had been previously heated. In this case, he writes that we can combine the fact that one is reheating liquid, which is more lenient, with the fact that one does not care about the benefit from the drops.
So that's the leftover water that's inside the klisheni, it is that you filled it up, you poured it in, then you're going to fill it up again.
Yeah, exactly. So much will be more makeup there. Exactly.
It's not hot anymore.
Practical application.
You were talking about
it. Oh, 1 second. However, 1 second. So let's see Rav Vosner. However, Rav Vosner writes... Rav Vosner writes that one must empty the cup only from a significant amount of water, but one need not dry insignificant drops. Wow. So let's just... Okay, I feel bad. I was assuming everyone's comes with these. Should I send out a picture to everyone?
Is Rav Vosner saying that, again, we're talking about the beginning when he first takes the water from the urn into the cup, or also for in the middle if he pours it out and then wants to pour it
over? Let's at least talk about Iruk Lirushan. That's the public enemy number one over here. That's the most chumer. So now says Rav Osner, Asher Sha'a Lamasa, Hayimtsarach Liyabish Akus, Lefnesha Shochim Vilmayim Chamim, Darki Lahokel, when Achre Hakoas Hakois Al Hayad. Take the cup, turn it over, give it a bang, the Kayotze boy,
right.
Otherwise, you're going to be left with
crap.
You're allowed to pour it on the handle. And look at what he says. Whatever drops are left, it's bichlal not bishul. The Lord touches it, but like klum bazeh, ve'eno nana bina bishul.
Right.
You're completely not interested, even though you can action and say, listen, he has 6 ounces of tea he's pouring, and this adds 0.01 ounce. Says about, no, that's nothing. And then he continues and he says, this is the svara that we're looking for, that's the carbon pesach svara. Vigam yiroi, it would seem to be, duhu gora michatzi shir, you're going to tell me, it's a chatzi shir. Meaning, okay, it's only a little bit, it's only a little bit. But first of all, you're actually going to drink that.
Right.
And second of all, so it's less than a shir. Chati shir asra tarah. Right? Exactly what Ramesha was talking about. Ramesha said that even though it's less than the minimum shir, right, it's still asr. Said Rav Osner, 1 second. It's chati shir is a problem, right? When what? The chati shir shayachim kol gidre bishul el the chasr shir chiyuv. When it's a regular chatzi shir that I actually wanted to heat up a tiny amount of water that can't even wash the small limb of a baby, that's the shir of bishul, so it's even smaller than that. So then, even though I can't, a person's not chayav skila for that, but what is he doing? He's doing an iser daraisa of chatzi shir. Chatzi shir asher tarah. Masha ein kein, says Rav Osner, nitzoytzim kol shehein, any droplets of water, these few drops of water, with these drops, the whole idea of bishul does not start. It's also, even if you want to say, but it's for sure going to get heated up by the irrigation, so that's a psik resha, which we know, that Baal Ha'aruch is matir, the Rishonim, many of them argue with him, it comes down in different ways in the later Paiskim, and it's usually used as a sniff. Right. When you have other considerations, you could be making one, it's a psik resha de l'nichale, even though not everyone agrees to the aruch, like Taisus doesn't, but it didn't get pushed away from halacha, it's brought down. So now, he says, first of all, it's not the tzura of bishul, it's b'chol not bishul. And even if you want to say that those few drops is bishul, but that's not what you're intending to do, you just want to make a cup of tea.
Right.
What do I mean? I want to make a cup of tea. So what are you bothering me about these drops? I'm not interested in the drops. So that's mamish apsik resha, b'leich paslei, and v'meila, it's mutter. V'meila, it's mutter. So it occurred to me that this shayla that they're fighting over here, that Moshe on one side, no, and the buzzer on the other side, it's very evocative of the spit, of the shpud. Let's leave Bishul Karban Pesach to the side, but what about, for no reason, okay, granted, Bishul is mutarai, not the flitzarech. It is. But the question is, l'charchila to come, and not to insist that it has to be totally dried out. Why? You're doing Bishul for no reason. So, this seemed to me very, very connected to the shayla of the drops. I'm making a cup of tea. It happens to be that there are more drops, there's going to be more tea. But I can't even tell. I'm not interested.
It's insignificant.
And I don't want it. It's insignificant. And also, because I'm not, if I was coming to do Bishul, see, tell me it's a psik resha. But says Rav Osner Chiddush, even though now I'm making a cup of tea, but I'm not interested in being mevashal these drops.
Yes.
So even though it's miminataina, it's part of the process of preparing a cup of tea, these drops are so insignificant that it goes down to the level of a nuisance, of a psik resha, meaning a byproduct of the action that's not even what I'm doing. So psik resha you can only say when it's not the purpose of my action. Once it's the purpose of my action, it's not called a psik resha anymore, it's called an iser.
Yeah.
Right? But psik resha means it's a side effect of my action. So to me it seems that these two shitas are very much resonant with this question of the shpud on of the other types of shpud on yontif. Now it happens to be that you can make a machlekes between the Rav and the Rambam out of it. So I don't know if you want to say a pilpul that the Rav and the Rambam are the same machlekes as Rav Moshe and Rav Osner. But it seems that they line up to some extent. Okay, ad kan with making tea on Shabbos, and the Shmir Shabbos, who was a great Talmud Chacham and a very respected Paisek, also has the firepower of the fact that Rav Shlomo Zalman not only was his Rebbe, but also the Seif Yom of Mamish went through the entire Shmir Shabbos with a fine tooth comb, and the new editions reflect that, and everything Rav Shlomo Zalman let through. So the Chayrin has his backing, right? Otherwise, so it seems like Rav Shlomo Zalman is also Machmir on this Shaila. Although, so if any, you know, Chassidus Shayidin here, the one who followed Rav Osner, so, you know. Yai shal mi lismoich. Okay. Yeah, Rav Osner. Okay. So now like this. I'm not sure. I don't remember. Did we ever learn a little bit of Baal Pashtus here? Like back in the day when we did what we wanted. The good old days. B'nei Chayrin. Before we were Kabbal, all Torah, Tzurim, and Havana. So. Okay. Okay, so let's look a little bit at this fascinating question that I had, and then maybe we'll see another halakha l'maisa thing afterwards. We'll see.
Yeah.
What occurred to me? It bothered me the following thing. We see in the Mishnah that you use a pomegranate branch. Ma'abaya. It's a lav in the Torah. A fruit bearing tree is off limits for use. You can't just cut it down to use. And it says, not only does it say that they would use every single yid, can you imagine how many hundreds of thousands of karbanos pesach were being eaten? And every one of them is using, think about how many pomegranate trees you had to cut down.
Think about how many papers are dumped from trees.
Okay.
Not the whole tree, a branch.
No, not cutting down the tree, you're just cutting a branch.
Strong branch.
How heavy is a lamp?
Okay.
It's hundreds, thousands, millions.
Right,
not the whole tree.
So if you look, so let's look a little bit at this stickle. This is from a
smaller branch.
Actually, this is from like a one edition of a sefer that's being published soon.
Where?
I think it was actually taken out because of room constraints. So you're getting the uncut edition over here.
Oh.
Okay. So let's just see over here. Shaninim Mufteches Pesachim. It's the end of page 2. Keita Tanas Pesach. Mevim Shpuch Shal Rima B'Tokel Zatpiv. V'Gemara Sham V'Nesi Shal Dekel. Shall Te'ino, Shall Charov. So far, we have four fruit bearing trees that we're talking about. Shari Mikamalihu, Basarachim, Shari Mikamalihu, Loy Sashas, it's Eitel and Dachal, Gaiz, and Kimimimenu, Soycha, Voysel, Sirkois, the Ferish Apostle, and the end of Parsha Shoftim. Ve'echa, you curse in Atsi Rima, and I love from the Revolvers, the Turkha of Pesach. Ve'chenish, Lachas, me, a Mishnah, Reish, Prayer, Gimel, the Tomid, Kola, Eitzim, Ksherim, Lama, Rocha. What did they use to burn in the Mizbeach? Now, this, we're talking about serious amounts of wood, right? All trees are kosher. Chutz mishel gefen, except for vines, mishel zayis, and olive trees. Aval be'elu ha'yirigilim, but this is what they would standard use to cut down the massive stockpiles of wood that you needed for the Mizbeach. B'mur b'yoyis shel te'ena, long branches of fig trees, shel egoyis of nut trees. M'vur shem ha'gumar shem shagam atzei gefen v'zayis, even Geffen and Zayas, there's a reason why not, but Ba'ezim they should be kosher. So what do you see? That not only for the Karban Pesach, the whole year round, the Mizbeach was burning fruit-bearing trees, literally tons and tons of fruit-bearing trees. Be'er Sheva is one of the Kadmoinim, because it appears on several Mesachtas. Because of the Shema, the Tzorech Mitzvah G'dayla, Mutter L'Hashlos Gam Atzei Machol. Maybe with a mitzvah gedolah, you're allowed to cut down fruit trees. So what's shver l'chayru? V'l'chayru dvar av tzrichim bir. Sharei etzem ha'posek shel Baal Pashtus, what is it talking about? Ma'ari b'melchama. You're fighting against a city, and you're siege around a non-Jewish city. Ubevayim, we're feeling it on our skin every day. Ubevada yesh kan tzrach b'kuach nefesh. There's no such thing as a war that doesn't have an element of b'kuach nefesh. Shal yipu chayel tzivas Hashem b'idei oyveim chas Hashem. Still, the Torah says you can't cut down fruit trees, even if it's helping you with your siege, or it's giving you advantage over your enemy that they're not going to have fruit trees anymore. If the Mishnah says straight up, every tree in the book is kosher for the Mizbeah. Kol Atisrak, it includes all non-fruit bearing trees. How are we allowed to go and leave alone all the pine trees in the world, all the oak trees in the world, and then go and take fruit trees like Achila? Please. So what does the Mishnah Melech say? So he says, it could have been the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech says in Yisur Mizbeach, Kasa V'chadesh to Yisur Ashchas HaSa'etim, who rak Karisas Kol Ha'etz. Only when you cut down the whole tree. There are saplings and there are branches that are growing out of the tree. Everything works out. Ulam, however, we have to see what the Achrayim say about this. Not the why you safer, but the chuvis. And with David Misharim, the Hedek at Shabina Rav. Shekasvu the fact pick for different Mishnah Melech. They want to say we're not sure about this Mishnah Melech. Why? Look what they have. Very interesting question. The Mikol Makam Hare Yesh Bekrisas Anafim Iser Chatzishir. You're cutting down part of a tree, so even if it's not going to be a malchus for it, well, like Sasha says, why are you allowed to cut down part of it?
Because you're not wasting it; you're using it for
no. So that's a different story. Then the Gemara says that when you need it for a purpose, that it's more worth it to use the mushroom. The Gemara says that once it gets to be an old tree and it barely produces fruit, you're allowed to cut it down because it's just a financial liability. So you don't have to say, "Oh, cut this the fruit." No, you're allowed to weigh it. That's why when you're clearing up after a simcha, you don't have to sit there picking out everything that's, what about this, what about that? If it's not cost effective, you're allowed to get rid of it, because the idea of baltashos is getting rid of something in a wanton way, I don't care. But if it's not worth it to drive 3 hours to get that piece of whatever it is that's going to spoil, so then don't. Okay, so 1 second. So let's see. So that's their kasha. Their kasha is chatishir. Vimkain, Afim Sadku Dvarav, they ain't over Balav Gamur, Elam Kain Karas Kala Eitz. Even if the Mishnah Melech's Chiddush is true, that the only way I have a full life is what? If I cut down the entire tree. But that doesn't help, because still there's a problem of what? Of Chatishir. Right? The Ainu of Balav Gamur, become Makam Yisurim Yo'ikad is an Isser.
You're not cutting out, you're not removing the potential for it to grow again.
It can grow.
It's not like. How much? It's more. It's qualitative, not quantity.
Very good. Okay, so let's see. Can I have another question on the Mishnah Melech? Shari l'shon chazalu shekorsin eitzim. Koris usually means you detach, right?
Yeah.
Eitzim l'ma'arocha ad tesvav ba'av. So the chari the lashes mashal midug shekorsin is kala eitz. By midug of eitz pre. Okay, so it's not 100% muchach, but the chrus usually means
uprooting.
What?
Uprooting.
Right, to be disconnected. Right. So now, the leguf kushas ha'achrenim al Mishnah Melech. Next paragraph. The kash of the Mishnah, the achrenim asked the Mishnah Melech. That's chatzishir. Nearly yashiv. It appears to say the following. Teres is barav. Shafilu im be'emes yish itzu chatzishir ba'aslas la'eitz. They're right. The Chabini Rav is right. And the Beis Yitzchak is right. There's such a thing as Chatzi Shir, right? When it comes to cutting down a tree. Yeah? There is. Severely, but the Mishnah Melech says the following Svara. The Zeh Yitzuyer Davka Kishemaschel Lichreis Es Hageza Shela Eitz. It's only when Chatzi Shir would be if you start sowing the trunk of the tree. That if you continue sowing, what's going to happen? Right? It's part of a ma'isa krisa of cutting down the whole tree. Gemura sha'evim alav baltashvis. Kishakaris onaf echad. That's not even called the chatzishir. Why? Because let's say you keep on going. What's going to happen?
You'll cut the branch.
Even if you cut down every single branch, you didn't even start it. That's not called a chatzi shir. This is what I asked. This is a very good kasha. If they're right, then suddenly we're going to have to walk around in handcuffs. Why? According to the Devi Mishram, have the following kasha.
Right.
According to them, should come out. If I pass my apple tree, I pull off a leaf. Oh, chatzi shir. No one's going to say that because I didn't start. I'm not cutting. So Elamai, what do you have to say? That it's only when I start the project of what cutting down the entire tree.
That they're destroying the tree.
Right. So even though you're right that when I cut off all the branches, I'm halfway. I got rid of most of the tree, but I didn't start on the part that's actually being behind me. So that's not even cool that I started. That's what I wanted to say. Fine. So what do they hold about this? I thought maybe what would they say about this? Ulam abesitzel dev mishar. What would they say back? Chares tefila who is that? The emes yishal chalak ben ala la'anaf. You have to be mechalak between a tree and a leaf, a branch and a leaf. Shem me'ale from a leaf lo yuchal tzmal free. There's not going to be a fruit coming out of that place right now. Masha ain came anaf on a branch. It got down a whole branch. So yeah, that's what's going to happen. The anaf be'atzma yochel loy tipri. B'mkein hashchosas anaf amedev peres akati b'geder chatzishir. That's what they would say. Okay, fine.
But then you wouldn't be able to prune a tree at all.
What do you do if you don't have
altogether
long trees?
You wouldn't be able to prune a tree altogether. Because you're cutting off a branch.
So very good. So anytime we do zmira, that we prune a tree because it's for the betterment of the tree. So it's not a problem of Adrav, you're being mechazik the tree. Okay? And then at the end, they pointed out that Rabbi Chanan has a famous chakira when we talk about the idea of chazil tzerufe bechatzi shir. That the idea, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, that chazil tzerufe, that the reason chatzi shir is usher is because of the fact that you can also do the other half of the shear and get to a full shear. So Rabbi Chanan wonders, is it have to be mamish that it's actually chazel it's terufe? Or it's just because theoretically it is. And one nafkamino of that would be, let's say a person cooks right before the end of Shabbos, chazi shear. It's not shayach that he's going to have another shear to be mitzvahed.
Right.
He can't. Right? So then what happens? So do we say chazal tzerufe? Rabbi Chanan says maybe you still do because of the fact that it's more be'etzem that it could have been joined by more to create a shir. Oh, one second.
Question.
Now the ma'isa, what I ended up seeing, I just want to cut to the chase over here. The machlekes in the Mishnah Melech and the who's way earlier and the Chibina Rav and the Beis Yitzchak, the ma'isa it's in the Rishonim already. So if you look about being mechal between the tree and just the branch. So it's the first line of the next paragraph. In the chidush of the Mishnah Melech, mechal increases on, increases eight. Matzasi shekvar chilik came b'meiri in brachas. V'chein mechal shuvis chavis yoyer. V'chein pasuk baruch shulchan. That it's all about the trunk and not about the branches. Elam yidach toisus b'brachas sham hikshu. I isur ktsisus atzipri b'shvius. Typically, we bow tashas. Yes.
Under the Dalas Flamella.
V'loi chilku bein anaf legeza. You see, Tosis over there is talking about even about cutting down a branch, and he's assuming that's about Tashlis. So you see, it's a Perish of Tosis that holds like the Shabina Rav. Ke'en Zediku, Perish of Mishnais, L'Rambam. I'm sorry, the Shabina Rav is a different thing. Shabina Rav is the one who said that it's an Isser of Chassi Shir. So he doesn't necessarily disagree with the Mishnah Melech. But the whole Mishnah Melech's teretz that on the Be'er Shabbos Kasha, we see Tosis holds like the Be'er Shabbos Kasha. But the Panim Yafis, that's the Hafla, the Rebbe Nachsam Sofer, he comes with two bomba terutzim that at least help. They at least help for what? For Karban Pesach. He says two beautiful things. And let's see what he says. They won't maybe solve the problem of the Akhtay Maracha for the whole year where they're coming from, because they're coming from fruit trees. But at least when it comes to Karban Pesach, he pulls two very important things out of his pocket. The Sefer Panim Yafis, Al-Apostek, Leishashkes, over there, in Parashat Shoftim, we see in the last paragraph of the year, Tirtz upon him Yafis. Please be mekabel him, the Savior upon him Yafis. Kosev liyashe bo'ifan acher. So he wrote a different type of terence. The Shpudin shel Pesach, ve'atzei ama'arocha, the Shpudin that they use for Pesach, and also for the mizbeach milkachim meilonis zekenim. They're taken from older trees. Shakvar ein oisim peres. And the Gemara says, as soon as it stops giving off a certain amount of peres, cut them down. Umeila ein b'zem yishum iser batash. It doesn't start. So it's a way of dodging the whole question. In other words, the question of the Torah of Be'er Sheva needs to be answered. It needs to be dealt with. What's the din? But halacha lemaisa is the bottom of it. It could be they didn't get into the whole shadow. They're going down, cutting down the old ones that didn't give enough fruit.
Every year they had enough.
The cost of du dachok. And he says the shtickle dachok, but he moisev al dachok. And I'm going to add to his dachak to the gemara reish keta tzaylim matzanu tzad the shputzal remind who what minavga barshata that it's maybe a tree that's 1 year old nitiya bashnasa. However, but the Parmios actually used that Gemara to say another teretz. The Shema Irinon Bekol Hani Besoich Gimel Shnois Arla. Asher Behem Meilo Lemiskayim Kimi Menu Soichel. So there's a whole shaila. What happens if you have a little tree that's Arla? Are you have an Isser of Baltashas? Why shouldn't you have an Isser? Kimi Menu Soichel, because you could eat from it, but you can't eat from the Arla. So 1 second, you can shemale umr torah bezeh vaisale sichrois. So if you say that, please yeshlem and the shpudi hakarim pesach v'atzei marach and lekachem me'atzei arla shavroisi shiramaz zeh v'sefer panim yafs himself v'him tikes tvarav miloshen apasuk. So listen to this beautiful diya.
Is that aser b'hanah?
Yeah.
No, aser arla is only aser b'hanah, the fruit.
Not the wood.
The iser of arla only is with the fruit.
Okay.
Fruit.
Not the wood.
Right. Right, the tree.
And that's
natural.
Strong enough.
Okay, 1 second. So look at what he says. Beautiful. Trunk. What does the pasuk say about Tashkes? Ki satsur el ir yomim rabim lihinachem aleha. Yomim rabim heim shloshe shnois ta'arla. Why are you talking about having many days? What the pasuk shot is, you're waiting and waiting, you want to bring them down. But he says, no, it says yomim rabim. It means arla. You wait a long enough time till the ilonas are 3 years old. Gam mitzaris or arla, you can eat from them. Gam mitzaris mitzikas laperis. Ayin sham midvara. A couple of mesh eisel nixos eight shall arla. So that halacha lemaisa, that's not pasha. That there's no iser of a baltashas on the eighth arla because eventually it's going to be edible. Okay, so this is a little bit of a window into the serious halachic issues we're going to have to deal with. Meheri Yevonei HaMikdash, are we allowed to use fruit trees? Watch out that the drip shouldn't come from the oven. Gewalt! Right? So, Be'ez Hashem, we should be dealing with this very, very soon, and my father comes, we'll be inundating him, not only with shadows and abishal, but also about eating min hazvachim, min hazvachim,
v'meher v'yomein. You got the remontry.
That's the cover page with your father. How great would that be?